Welcome in, everyone, and thank you for listening to the 292nd ever episode of the Missouri Sports Podcast, brought to you by 106 Apparel and recording from the MSP Studio in beautiful Springfield, Missouri. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron Albert, alongside my good friend and fellow Mizzou fan, Kyle DeVries. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Doing great, Cameron. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I thought of a really random thing that I wanted to ask you both about.
Great.
I was watching The Lion King recently, as we do in our house, and I had this random flashback to DVD menus, and then one step further, certain movies having games that you could play inside the DVD.
Wow.
Like on your TV.
Yeah, I feel like I vaguely remember
that. It's a blast from the past.
Yeah, like interactive. You're like pressing the left and right arrows on your DVD player remote. I remember the Lion King DVD special edition or something had one of those.
Wow. One of the best movies ever made.
Go on a safari.
First of all.
Yeah.
Do you remember like VHS?
Oh, yeah.
When you had to like rewind it when you got to the... Well, you didn't have to, but it was like polite.
Be kind, rewind.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Before you take it back to the library.
Rewind it back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, before you took it back to Blockbuster or before your sibling watched it or something.
Before you took it back to Movie Mania in Willard, Missouri. That's
man,
what we were doing.
What a place. Yeah.
So the days, man.
Yeah, those Disney movies all had that real thick, almost like foam a little bit, like plastic packaging.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The white.
Yeah.
I always used to love taking my fingers and like squeezing them.
Yeah. Like but that. It was the worst when the case wouldn't close back all the way. And like,
yeah, when it was collapsed.
Yeah. And then the grown-up movies just had the little cardboard sleeve.
Yeah. Because you didn't have to worry about them dropping them or something.
I guess. Was it like protection for the cassette? I never even thought about
that. I guess,
yeah. DVD menu games.
Wow. I never would have thought of that ever again.
Leave a comment with your favorite DVD menu game.
Maybe we'll go get a DVD and try it out.
That could be. That's a new
segment.
Sounds like a lot of work.
New like content area that's untapped.
Yeah,
it's like playing DVD menu games.
Streaming it.
Yeah. Hey, we're back. What all are we going to actually talk about this week? We're going to talk basketball news, transfer portal news. We picked up some transfers. We've got some potential transfers on the way. We're talking about the North End Zone and 2025 football targets. Before we get into all that, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, leave us a like, leave us a review wherever you listen to us, and you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/MissouriSportsPod. Kyle, last week we talked about Arkansas a lot with Calipari and everything. We were like unofficially, I think, calling the pigs because they showed up.
They did.
Yeah. There was Arkansas fans watching last week. And they...
Do you think they're going to come back this week?
Probably not, but we
come
did.
Come on, pig!
That was us. And they came running. We were talking about them and Calipari.
It's not that hard, man.
They sniffed us out like truffles.
Yeah. We know their keywords.
Exactly.
Their buzzwords.
Yes. So shout out to all the Arkansas fans that watched last week, and some of them subscribed, I think. So
yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah. So in Mizzou, we're talking Mizzou basketball this
mostly,
week.
Yeah.
Yes. First thing I have here, news related, John Tonjay is in the transfer portal, will not be returning to Missouri.
Yeah, pretty weird Mizzou career for John Tonjay. I think, you know, we really thought he would be a difference maker. And then he barely played.
Yeah.
And then we thought he was injured. So that was like the excuse all season was like, well, you know, he could be good. We don't know. He's injured.
Yeah.
And then he transfers and it's like, well, maybe he wasn't very good. I don't know. Maybe we'll never know.
And there was always, I'll always get stuck on that weird comment from Coach Gates saying his availability is the same as it always has been.
And that was before we knew he was injured, allegedly.
Right. Yeah. We knew he was injured in the preseason with a foot. Yeah. Anyway. He's in the transfer portal. Yeah, weird stint with Mizzou. He played in 8 games, attempted 12 shots, was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. We could have used that free throw shooting later in the season. And yeah, he looked like a guy preseason that could go get his own shot. And up until, I mean, still right up until his announcement into the portal, it was like, well, with the medical redshirt or whatever, maybe they're going to run it back with him next year. So, but that will not be the case. And then looking at other transfer portal targets, I wanted to mention that Tarris Reed, who Missouri was in contact with, the transfer from Michigan, originally from the state of Missouri, he has now transferred to UConn. So the defending national champions, that was pretty surprising.
Yeah,
I think I had him penciled in my head to go to Kansas State with Doug McDaniel.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by that too. Didn't ever really feel like the interest was there for between him and Missouri. So, yeah. And I guess we can see why now.
Yeah, he had his sights set a little higher. But Missouri did snag two transfer portal pickups. First one just happened today. That was Northern Kentucky transfer guard Marquez Warwick. He picked Mizzou. He had visited and ended up committing to the Tigers. So he is 6'2", 185, had played all four seasons so far at Northern Kentucky. He is originally from Lexington. And let me pull up his profile here. This past season, his shooting numbers were a little bit down. He was a career 36% three-point shooter and had attempted 200 threes in both his sophomore and junior seasons. He attempted another 208 threes this past season, but only made 29% of them, so significant dip in three-point shooting.
Yeah, pretty weird line there as far as like shooting percentages. Not an elite shooter really at any point in his career, but just generally a very natural scorer. Mm-hmm. Starting with his freshman season, he scored 16 points per game immediately as a freshman, 16 points per game as a sophomore, 19 per game as a junior, and 20 last year. So all 4 years of his career, he was scoring at a pretty elite level, but never shooting at an elite level.
Yeah, he did. With the dip in three-point shooting, he did manage to shoot 52% from two this past season on 273 attempts. So his usage was up there. He was getting every opportunity with the ball in his hands to score. Got to the free throw line at a pretty elite level and made 86% of his free throw attempts. So getting to the line, obviously that was an issue this past season for Mizzou. So getting a little bit of help there. Only 6'2", 185. So a little bit on the smaller side as far as like a guy that's going to play off the ball. But when I was looking at his highlights and some of his digging a little bit deeper in some of his game film, he definitely is a guy that can create his own shot that we did not have last year, much more in the mold of, I would not say he's like quite as elite as guys like DeAndre Golston and Isaiah Mosley at breaking guys down one-on-one, but he has a little bit of that in him, I think. And getting to the paint with pump fakes, pivot moves, spin moves, finishing with both hands at the rim. And another thing that stood out to me was he was always looking to take the outlet pass and just go score in transition. And that'll be true of Tony Perkins, the next guy we'll talk about. But with Warwick, I feel like, I mean, he was playing 90% of minutes as a senior at Northern Kentucky. And getting anybody who can play big-time minutes and score in one-on-one situations, take advantage of mismatches from the guard position, we need somebody to do that. We didn't have it this past season.
Yeah, it's nice to have some veteran guards that can score. But yeah, I'm excited to see what he does. I am going to put you on the spot a little bit here.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to go back a few years.
All right, and, see what I can do.
if you can recall Amari Davis.
Sure, yeah.
Can you make me feel better? Because it feels like a pretty similar profile to that of an Amari Davis, where, you know, he was an elite scorer at Green Bay for 2 years. Like all Horizon League player, but he wasn't a good three-point shooter. He scored a lot of his points from like two-point range, but had scored, been a great scorer his whole career, gets to Missouri and just does nothing. And obviously that's in the Conzo Martin era. That's a different coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
But like, can you assure me that we're not going to have a similar situation here with Warwick?
I mean, let me look up Davis and see, what kind of comparison and contrasting I can do here to try to make you feel better. I feel like, let me pull up his profile here. Amari Davis, yeah, 6'2", 175, like similar build. Yeah, I feel like the biggest difference here is I really feel like Warwick will be fine behind the 3-point line.
Mm-hmm.
Like his shooting stroke looks like it's there. It's maybe not perfect, not as consistent as it needs to be, but he had established it enough in the first 3 years at Northern Kentucky that like the coaching staff there was like, yeah, keep shooting it. You'll be fine. You'll figure it out. So I just feel like, I mean, the biggest thing is he's got the attempts at a decent percentage, you know, 35% or more on 200 attempts.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, you live with that every day.
Yeah, I agree. I don't remember what Amari Davis was doing specifically, but I remember thinking that was a pretty big red flag for him coming into Mizzou. And I think it ended up being kind of a nightmare that ended up taking place.
Yeah,
but well, I agree with you.
This right here will put all your fears to rest. Amari Davis, for his entire career, 2 years at Green Bay, 1 year at Mizzou, and then transferred from Mizzou to Wright State. In his entire career, he was 35 for 145 from three. And Warwick was, he has in his career so far made 263 three-pointers on 768 attempts.
There you go. That's the big difference in the profile right there is the three-point shooting makes and volume.
Yeah. Yeah, the volume is there. And, yeah, I think don't look for him to create for everybody else all that much, but that was another thing. Like I'm trying to remember watching Amari Davis play basketball, but, he just looked undersized in the SEC.
I agree.
That'll be something to watch maybe, next year in conference play, but looking at Warwick's highlights and tape from Northern Kentucky, it felt like he played bigger than 6'2". So I think it's like not, I mean, anytime you get a guy that just averaged 20 points per game at a lower level, you, I think you say yes and just see what you can get out of him.
Yeah.
Moving on to Iowa transfer guard Tony Perkins. He picked Mizzou and he's actually a little bit bigger than Warwick, but he is definitely more of the traditional point guard role. Even though he is 6'4", 205, he had the ninth best assist rate in the Big Ten this past season, and that was a pretty big uptick. He kind of definitely from his junior year at Iowa to his senior year really took over running the show. The ball was in his hand most of the time, initiating the offense more as a senior than ever before, and he did really well with it. I talked about him a couple weeks ago as a guy who had like 14 assists and 15 assists, two separate games in conference play in the Big Ten this past season. So, and that made us think fondly of Phil Pressey,
mm-hmm.
his 19 assist game.
Yeah, I think it'll be refreshing to see Tony Perkins play. He's just a much bigger guard than we had this past year, like just longer, more athletic, still not an elite shooter, but doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great distributing guard that's going to make a big difference for the offense.
One thing with Warwick, when I was looking at his numbers a little bit more, he was a much better shooter, which everybody kind of is by default, but he was a much better shooter from three on catch and shoots versus off the dribble.
Mm.
So maybe that's something that they could hone in on a little bit
and
give him more spot up opportunities.
Yeah, they might work well together.
And yeah, with Perkins, he shot more threes than Amari Davis, but only made 30% of his threes on 77 attempts and got to the free throw line pretty well, generated some steals, from the backcourt. That's one definite knock on Warrick, is his coach at Northern Kentucky said that they kind of had to try to get him to play some defense.
Nice.
Over the course of his career there, they kind of had to convince him to participate on that side of the ball a little bit. So I don't know how that fits in with what Dennis Gates is trying to do, but he's going to need to play some defense for Missouri next year, I think.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't know, he's trying to Demoy Hodge it a little bit with playing defense from behind and just trying to get steals.
Hey, that kind of defense is fun.
Yeah. We definitely need to be generating more transition opportunities for these guys next year than we did this past season. So there's two guys down on the transfer portal that have picked Mizzou. Two other names that we've talked about, one of them a lot. This is, I think, maybe the first time we've mentioned Mark Mitchell on the podcast because, yeah, when he entered the transfer portal from Duke, but he spent 2 years at Duke, was a five-star player out of high school in Kansas City, Kansas. And it's about time Missouri annex Kansas City, Kansas, I think.
I agree.
Overland Park, that whole area.
Take it over.
Yeah, that's just a part of Missouri now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of Kansas, you just like find out, like, this is Colorado over here. This is Missouri. You just
fold it.
Just fold Kansas in half to where the border of Colorado and Missouri are touching.
I saw somebody on Twitter said, what happens here? And it like circled the state of Kansas, but it like was kind of like excluding Kansas City. It was just like circled most of the rest of Kansas. Like, what goes on here?
Mostly people just driving through, I think.
Yeah, just
trying to just eventually bustling, get to Colorado.
Bustling the highways.
Mark Mitchell, five-star player out of high school, in the portal, now has a crystal ball prediction to Kansas State, now has a crystal ball prediction to Mizzou.
Yeah, I mean, there was like a rumor that he was visiting Kansas State,
mm-hmm.
and then some of their beat writers came out and said, but Kansas State is not recruiting Mark Mitchell. So that was kind of like, okay, that seems good.
Yeah. So, interesting situation with him. Like, definitely has not produced at the college level like you would expect a five-star McDonald's All-American who goes to Duke, who's, you know, 6'9". 220 out of high school. You expect him to be a one and done and go to the NBA. And not only did that not happen, he stuck around for a sophomore season at Duke and is still not going to the NBA. And the rumor mill and crystal ball says Mizzou. And I feel like, well, let me ask you, like, over under 12.5% for Mark Mitchell to go to Mizzou.
Now, why did you say 12.5%? Is there something significant about that?
No, not at all. Just a good number, I think.
Is that statistically significant?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the over on that. he visited Missouri out of high school. I think Missouri had a fighting chance even 2 years ago. But now it does absolutely seem like Missouri is going to be the choice. And now that I say that, who knows? But... right. Absolutely, Missouri's in the driver's seat, and things are looking up. And it does feel like a little bit of a trend here. Not a great shooter,
yeah.
Not horrible,
right?
But that's probably the main reason why he's still in college. He's going to be playing a third year in college, is because he really isn't a threat on the outside or on the perimeter,
right?
And honestly, his shooting numbers are probably look better than his shooting form if you watch film of him. It's not a good looking shot, but that's not everything. And I think that, you know, even at 6'9", that's like almost like tweener category a little bit, like maybe undersized to play the five or at least be really good at it. But I think he plays big enough, and you know, I think he can. I think he plays well down low and kind of holds his own.
Yeah, and Duke this past season kind of leaned into him being a more traditional big. They played him at the four with Filipowski at the five, who is kind of a stretch five. So often Filipowski was pulling defenders more towards the perimeter, giving Mark Mitchell room to operate down low. Now, if only there was like a 6'11 stretch 4 or 5 who could play a little bit on the perimeter and distribute, who is in the transfer portal, who might come to Mizzou, you might have a nice little dynamic there at the 4-5 spot. And Javon Porter, the Pepperdine transfer, is in the transfer portal. And I think adding Mark Mitchell and Javon Porter to round out the transfer class looks pretty good to me.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, we've been talking about Javon Porter for like a month and a half, I think, at this point. And I think it seems like things have been pretty radio silent ever since he announced he was transferring. But I still think Missouri's probably the front runner. And I don't know. It's like the longer this goes on, it feels like he's just going to end up at Mizzou, at Mizzou eventually.
Yeah.
But, you know, he, like you said, offers a pretty exciting skill set that probably does pair really well with Mark Mitchell. And I bet they would be a pretty nice tandem.
Yeah. Yeah, Javon Porter, I feel like, yeah, it's just like quiet recruitment. Like there has not been a top five, like visits haven't really been announced for him. But yeah, it just feels like, well, we know Coach Gates said that there was going to be 2 or 3 more bat signal tweets from him after Tony Perkins.
Yeah, we've had one.
Yeah.
And we know MPJ said it's get the bag season.
Right.
We know the Porter family likes to get the bag.
That is true. Do they ever? That's an incredible segue, Kyle. Yeah, it's bag season. We know Mizzou basketball is handing out bags. And Jonte Porter was really trying to get the bag. He tried to get it so hard that they kicked him out of the NBA for life.
Permaband.
Just an insane story.
Mizzou made.
Yeah, I've got the official release from the NBA pulled up here. The headline is Jonte Porter banned from NBA for violating league's gaming rules. We're not talking about video games. A league investigation finds Porter violated league rules by disclosing confidential information to sports bettors and also bet on NBA games.
It's almost jarring to read, like to read that sentence on like an official document. Like Jonte Porter, like I thought he was just a nice Christian boy.
Well, you know, he's a stand-up young man.
I'm sure he is.
And
we all want to get the bag.
That's true. Yeah, I got to give you a little bit more detail here from this report before we dissect it a little bit. But yeah, a lot of this is revolving around a March 20th game. We talked about it when it first came out a little bit, but now we know a little bit more details. An individual Porter associated with and knew to be an NBA bettor placed an $80,000 parlay with an online sports book to win $1.1 million, wagering that Porter would underperform in the March 20th game. And that was the game that he took himself out of the game after 3 minutes, saying he didn't feel well. And of course, all of his unders hit. Somebody won $1.1 million. That immediately triggered the sports book to be like, oh, we lost a lot of money here. We better see what was going on. This looks super fishy. Let's get the NBA involved. And they just nailed him so fast.
Immediately.
Less than a month from the game happening, he's banned for life.
I mean, I can't even wrap my head around it, man. Like, what were they thinking? Do they really thought like, I'm just going to turn $80,000 into $1.1 million and no one's going to bat an eye?
It's got to be just like, well, nobody's watching the Raptors. Like, we're not in the playoffs. I'm a two-way player. Like, I haven't even been playing that much. Nobody's going to notice. You'd think, like, we know Jonte is, like, into stocks and stuff and making plays. He's got to know from, doing stocks and stuff that when something weird happens in the stock market, like there's, you know, Twitter accounts.
Unusual whales.
Yes. There's Twitter accounts like tweeting
dedicated
this stuff.
To like noticing unusual activity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you don't think like, obviously if that's happening in stocks, then all the companies involved know the same stuff.
Which by the way, someone hitting a $1.1 million parlay in one night, that's whale activity.
Exactly.
Like, I know sports betting is a really big industry, but taking down $1.1 million in one night of NBA betting, that's a massive amount of money still for anybody.
Yeah. But it had to have just been one of those things where they thought like, yeah, it's everything is so massive. This will just slip through the cracks.
That had to have been it.
But yeah.
But it does. But
honestly, it's so weird to think about like his image or whatever, because that aspect of it, I'm just like, come on. Like the NBA writers reporting on this, the writers themselves are sponsored by FanDuel and other places.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, we find ourselves in a situation where the NBA and everybody else involved in the sport is able to make additional money off of the players via betting and betting sponsorships, and the players are not allowed to capitalize on it.
Yeah.
They're actually the only ones that aren't allowed.
I saw this tweet from at Aaron Johannes that says, Jontay Porter's lifetime ban from the NBA is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Use promo code PORTERBAN to get $150 in bonus bets.
Yeah.
It's like, just leaning into how ironic it is.
It's just like barely parody at this point.
Yeah.
Literally, they put the, like, I mean, anybody who's following sports knows the discourse around betting being directly integrated into the broadcasts, into SportsCenter. And it's like every like incremental bit of that is like, whatever. But then after so many of those incremental steps towards embracing sports betting and integrating it into the sports themselves, you get to a point where you're like, oh, we're like way far down this road. And we can't put the brakes on it at this point.
Yeah, I do think the final nail in the coffin, though, for Jontay specifically, though, was one of his parlays did involve his own team losing, which he wasn't playing in that game, but still, like, and maybe he would have been permanently banned regardless, but that's the one that probably looks even maybe the worst out of all of them.
Was and he lost the bet. Like, he didn't actually win off of, but he did bet on the Raptors to lose.
Yeah, and they won that night?
I guess. When he wasn't playing.
Yeah. Yeah. So all around, like, terrible look for Jontay. It's really unfortunate. I don't think he's a bad person, but I don't even know, man. He just lost control and was not thinking there, clearly.
Yeah.
And that's pretty crazy. You don't see many players get permanently banned from like a professional sports league.
Right.
Hardly ever.
Yeah. Jontay Porter's name is now connected to Pete Rose. The last thing I'll say on this, unless you have more, is like, obviously, you can't be doing this, right? Everybody knows that. You can't be doing this. However, this statement from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on the matter is just like rings so hollow with all the stuff that we're talking about. He says, there is nothing more important than protecting the integrity of NBA competition for our fans, our teams, and everyone associated with our sport, which is why Jontay Porter's blatant violation of our gaming rules are being met with the most severe punishment. While legal sports betting creates transparency that helps identify suspicious or abnormal activity, this matter also raises important issues about the sufficiency of the regulatory framework currently in place, including the types of bets offered on our games and players. Working closely with all relevant stakeholders across the industry, we will continue to work diligently to safeguard our league and game. That just rings so hollow to me that, I don't know, it just frustrates me a little bit.
They gave him the death penalty.
Yeah. They said, you're done. Congratulations. Thank you for your service. You're done.
Yeah. That statement was a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah. And I just can't imagine that anybody is caring too much about the integrity.
The regulatory framework.
Yeah. With, you know, the betting lines being on the TV screen while you're watching the game. Anyway, thank you for that beautiful segue into Jontay Porter conversation. I'm really anticipating Javon Porter and Mark Mitchell to be Missouri Tigers this time next week.
That sounds good to me.
And then at that time, we might have to break down what that looks like for potential rotations for next year. I can already tell you it's going to be rough trying to figure that out. There's way too many guys that you can slot into the 4-5 spot. And
it's a good problem to have,
I guess. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We thought we had that problem last year.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So switching gears here. Actually, before we do that, I wanted to tease something before I forget. I got an email from the Mizzou Tiger Team Store, and they said, get them while they're hot. 2023 NIL trading cards. You know, it's no longer 2023, so they're trying to get rid of these bad boys. So I bought us a pack, which caused producer Cameron to buy 5 more packs.
He's a collector.
Well, yeah. You guys are...
Don't pin it all on him.
Yeah. Was it my idea? Sure. Was I maybe going to buy 5 on my own? Sure.
He enabled us.
Yes. We are all enabling each other to buy more Onnit Athlete NIL trading cards. And at some point in the future, we're going to do a live stream of doing some card pulls and seeing if we can get a signature that says autographed card in 10% of packs.
So in theory, we've got like a 50% shot at getting one. Is that how that works?
Roughly, yeah. Okay. We have 5 total packs, yeah.
So, yeah.
If we don't, we're buying 5 more and then we're guaranteed. That's there how that go. Works, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Money back guarantee.
That's how probabilities work.
I think it said that in the fine print. So we're shooting for a holographic Luther Burden, maybe a signed Brady Cook, something like that.
That'd be sick.
And that lets us switch gears right into football conversation.
I got an update real quick for the AD.
Oh, okay.
We had a quote from Mun Choi.
Yes.
If you can recall, Missouri's looking for a new AD. DRF has been gone for like 2 months now. She wanted to negotiate a lower buyout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people thought that they just might do it to like close a loop and get it over with and just say, be gone.
Move on, yeah.
But Mun Choi says, we do have a contract and we do expect the terms of that to be honored.
Okay.
So it sounds like Missouri's not going to be pushed around. And they're going to collect that buyout.
And that was like maybe topping out at like $3 million?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Update on actual AD stuff on like who Missouri's going to hire? I don't know yet.
No, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
They have moved on to the interview process, I believe I saw.
Okay. That seems like a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Also, happy holidays, Kyle. Yesterday was 4th and 17.
Oh, yeah.
I hope is that just going to be a yearly thing now?
I hope it is. Where we just
remember the 4th and 17 conversion against Florida last year?
To all who celebrate.
Yeah, I was celebrating. Mizzou football released like a 9-minute breakdown behind the scenes. It looked like maybe some uncut mini movie footage.
Uncut gems.
Some uncut gems of the Florida game and everything that happened around the 4th and 17 completion to Luther Burden that enabled Missouri to have a double-digit win season.
Well, when we have a generationally lucky thing happen, you got to milk it for everything it's worth because usually that's going the other way against us.
Yeah. Yeah, like literally grabbing a victory from the jaws of defeat doesn't usually go that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, relish every moment. Every memory of it. Remember it as often as you can. Another thing that the top folks in the Mizzou world were talking about over in they took a visit over to Rolla. We're just up I-44 from us. And they were talking about the North End Zone project. And they released some renderings and it looks incredible.
Yeah. Truly. This is gonna be What was it? $250 million project?
$250 million.
That's supposedly going to be ready by the 2026 season.
Yeah.
So we got 2 more seasons without it. I mean, it's like, if you thought the South End Zone project was significant, which it was, I don't remember how much that was. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
This looks much bigger. And it looks incredible. And like they're going to kind of redo the whole concourse behind like the North End Zone. If you can't think of it off the top of your head, it's obviously the side with the Rock M and they're going to keep that there. The rock game will still be there visible. But that whole area behind it is going to be redone, and it's going to kind of close in the dome, not the dome, kind of the oval of the stadium.
Yeah.
They're not putting a dome on the top.
They'll be able to close the roof of Memorial Stadium.
Oh, man.
The south end zone was $98 million.
I mean, the south end zone project, I've said this many times before, I think it looks fantastic. I thought they did a great job with it, and I it looks super nice. And this is,
I actually like the fact that you can, from certain angles inside the stadium, you can see Mizzou Arena up on hill over there, on further south.
Yeah.
I like that. I had to pull up the pictures to remind me of everything, but big old scoreboard at the very top happens to be showing a score of 35-3 Mizzou. Looks like they're playing Tennessee. It's just an image, but
I like that.
Love to see that. And then, three levels of, or two levels of suites and club boxes and stuff like that. I've got a tweet here from Natalie Jones, at NatalieABC17 on Twitter. She says, some details from the renovations. The Rock M general admission seating remains. There will be a Rock M fan club that seats 300 people, a mezzanine club that seats 500 people, 600 lodge box seats, 51 added suites, 260 mezzanine club seats, 28 tiger dens, whatever that is. We might have to check out
only
a tiger
28
den
of them.
That's pretty exclusive.
It's pretty premium.
Yes. Maybe the most important part of this tweet is she says they will be in, there will be Wi-Fi upgrades.
Okay, let's
to the
go.
Stadium.
We let's
know,
go.
We know Brit's ready for that. Everybody's ready.
So you can be on your phone during the game.
Exactly. You got to tweet updates.
It's true.
She says they'll be adding a recruitment center, restroom enhancements. Let's go. Oh, is
it bittersweet? Does that mean our beloved troughs are gonna be gone?
We can only hope.
I think we can get a section of those troughs.
That's what
we can just put one right over here as a.
You think they'll at least put the walls between the urinals?
That might be asking for too much.
Okay, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
We gotta retain the spirit of the trough.
That's true. Yeah.
LED field lighting and ribbon boards, etc. Yeah, it looked like there was actually lighting around the Rock M itself.
It's gonna be beautiful.
Yeah, the images of it from the front of the north side, the new entrance to the stadium, there on that side looks incredible. It looks like the rendering, they can add little lighting and shading to make it look extra special.
They have fireworks going off in the rendering.
Exactly. Yeah. But honestly, looks really cool.
Yeah. And it does feel like this is directly related to why DRF is no longer at Missouri. Still was a very respectable plan. I think she wanted to upgrade facilities for all of the sports. And the board of curators said, we want to upgrade football.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it maybe a month ago when we had our business episode where we were quoting press releases talking about this investment they were going to make in facilities. And it literally said in the release across all sports.
Yeah.
And then basically since that day, we have not heard anything about
not
the
a word.
All sports part of that.
And $250 million going to football. I mean, I know this is a big business. We're talking big business here, but that's not a lot of money left over for anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a quarter of $1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what you say when somebody brings up the fact that, it's the football team bringing in all this revenue that's making this possible. And yeah, that's true. So I can't really argue with that, but I think we got to spread it around a little bit.
I'm sure the other sports probably are thinking okay.
Yeah.
Do you think if the football team wasn't so hot right now that they would do something like this?
Man, I don't know. I mean, they are.
Is this we're on this ride and we're going to take it as far as the road goes.
They are striking when the iron's hot.
Yeah, for sure.
The epitome of that phrase.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's literal wins and losses. You wouldn't think, but feels like the culmination of the recruiting wins, mm-hmm. Luther Burden, and then you have this type of season that they just had there's got to be plenty of people behind the scenes saying, like, we have to capitalize on this.
Yep. There has been no better time in Missouri football history to announce this project than today.
And there's clearly individuals involved who it is, you know, whether they're right or wrong, it is their agenda to keep as much of it in football as possible.
Right. Yep. They have the financial support right now. They got to act on it.
Yeah.
Well, the next recruiting class is going to be able to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to.
In this new updated stadium.
They're going to put it together pretty quickly if all goes to plan.
Yeah. And there was mention of like a recruiting center in the north end zone, and they're redoing the tunnels underneath the stadium. And
ooh.
Yeah. That'd be something.
Something I'm sure we'll never see.
Yeah. So looks incredible, though. Like, I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to love experiencing it on game day.
Yeah. Can't wait.
So the last thing I have for us is to talk a little bit about 2025 football targets. And the class got kicked off with Matt Zollers committing to Mizzou, got the quarterback out of the way first. We talked last week about how nicely that fits into the overall recruiting plan and just gives other targets something to look to. Like, yes, this guy is going to lead the team at some point. He's, according to, I think, maybe he's ranked highest on three. They have him as the number two quarterback in the country.
Indeed, they do.
So got quarterback taken care of. I'll run through some guys from other positions and just some names to keep an eye on and how we'll do our best to gauge how likely they are to pick Mizzou and talk about some of the other teams involved with them. Moving on to running back, there's not a lot that I'm seeing that like points towards Mizzou being involved in any like four-star running backs that look likely to pick Mizzou. There's in-state Cardinal Ritter running back Jamarion Parker, but he is considered a Nebraska lean at this point and maybe not somebody that Missouri is going after too incredibly hard. So don't have a lot at running back, although there's a guy listed as an athlete that I'll mention later who looks like he projects to play running back. But one of the more exciting positions in the 2025 class is wide receiver. Although we just found out that one of Missouri's wide receiver targets, Isaiah Mosey from Lee Summit North, number two player in the state of Missouri, consensus four-star, he committed to Oregon. So he was definitely Oklahoma was involved in his recruitment, the whole Lee Summit North pipeline, but that finally fell apart.
It crumbled.
Yes, thank goodness. So he picked Oregon, but there's another in-state wide receiver that Missouri is definitely high on. He's a high three, low four star, depending on where you look. Number four player in the state of Missouri, according to 24/7. That's CBC wide receiver Corey Sims, comes in at 6'3", 185, and is a bigger wide receiver. The type that Missouri hasn't always been looking at in recent years. We've got some guys on the roster that are that size, but I mean, even Theo Weiss, I don't think is quite 6'3". But I would probably put Corey Sims as like, I mean, as close to a Mizzou lock as you can get at this point in the year.
Yeah, I know he did an interview recently where, you know, he was talking glowingly about Mizzou, and I can't remember if we mentioned that specifically on the podcast recently, but almost calling Missouri his dream school without saying those exact words, but he's loving the attention he's getting from Mizzou, and it seems like there's a pretty good chance he's going to join the squad eventually.
Yeah, and that may be one that's sooner rather than later. I don't know if he has, let me try to find if he has an announcement already planned. But the rest of the wide receivers that I think are worth taking a look at if you're a Mizzou fan are out of state, starting with Donovan Olugbodi. He is from IMG Academy, originally from the Chicago area. Now he's in Florida. He's a four-star, comes in at 6'1", 200 pounds. He is also getting attention from, well, just about everybody, but Oregon, USC, Washington, and Florida. So maybe a little bit of a longer shot, but you know, coach drink with the NIL money.
Don't you count him out.
We don't count him out. He can go get anybody at this point. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. Another guy that I have is 3-star from Memphis, Tennessee, Redarius Jackson, listed at 6'2", 195. Also considering Tennessee, Auburn, Ole Miss, and Oregon. And then I have Javon Boggs from Cocoa, Florida, 4-star, 6', 200 pounds, also considering Georgia, UCF, Florida, and Ohio State.
He seems like a guy that's pretty high up on Missouri's wish list.
Yes.
I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think Missouri wants him pretty badly.
Yeah, I feel like he is, like, Sims, I feel like, is the high on Missouri's list and imminently gettable. The other two guys I mentioned, fairly high on Missouri's list, but feels like it'd be quite a battle to bring him in. Boggs is, like, he's high on Missouri's list, and it's going to be a battle, but they potentially can pull it off.
Yeah, I think so. So
he's one to watch, definitely.
Isn't it nice that, like, some of the, it seems like, easiest, if you want to use, like, air quotes, easiest guys to get are from St. Louis, at least this year?
Yeah.
I mean, has it not been like that in the past?
Yeah, finally getting some of that in-state love. But, yeah, I feel like Boggs' recruitment specifically is going to take a while, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he necessarily has all the offers that he wants at this point. And so he'll be one to watch. Next on my list is from 3-star wide receiver from Lancaster, Texas, Emmanuel Choice. He's listed at 6'4", 195. Also has offers from Oklahoma, TCU, USC, and Nebraska. Definitely considered an Oklahoma lean. I'm noticing a trend here with like 6'3", 6'2", 6'4", and then I have here 6'2", 195 out of Zionsville, Indiana, 3-star Eugene Hilton Jr. He's projected to pick Georgia, also being recruited by Wisconsin and Miami, but Missouri's right in there. So a lot of wide receivers that it feels like Missouri has a chance with. Not necessarily a position of great need if you look at the roster right now, but some names that could come in and contribute fairly early.
And I think they're pitching that too. I think, you know, they know Luther Burden is not, it's got 1 year left unless something very, very strange happens. But I don't think anybody's expecting Luther Burden to play another season after this next year.
We'd have to buy a lot more trading cards.
We'd have to, yeah. Theo Weiss, I mean, he's going to be out of eligibility. Mookie Cooper could be his last season. So I think Missouri is looking ahead there and wisely pitching opportunity to these highly rated wide receivers.
Yeah, and we've seen other guys like Makai Miller, who, you know, when he commits to Mizzou, you're not thinking like, oh, this guy's going to command playing time right away.
Right.
But he did.
He did, yeah.
And so, Marquise Johnson, like they're working younger guys into the wide receiver rotation enough to give recruits something to look for.
Yeah, making the pitch easier and easier whenever you have examples to back it up.
Yeah. Next position, I just have one guy here at tight end, Andrew Olesh, 4-star tight end from Cinder Valley, Pennsylvania. If that sounds a little bit weird that they'd be going after a guy from Pennsylvania, don't forget that Matt Zollers is from Pennsylvania. And I saw recently Olesh put out a top 6, I think, including Missouri. And Zollers was right there, quote, tweeting it saying, you know, I don't remember what he said exactly, but join me in Columbia.
Well, you know, Missouri's always had that Pennsylvania pipeline, so it makes sense.
A new pipeline every year.
Yeah. Every state is a pipeline for Missouri. But yeah, clearly Matt Zollers' recruitment, like we knew it would, is catching the attention of many and probably some guys that have wished they were playing with him in high school right now are like, hey, I'll play with him at the next level.
Olesh is listed at 6'5", 212. Also has offers from Alabama, Miami, Ole Miss. They seem to be towards the top, but actually the very top is Penn State. So we're going to have to get him out of the state of Pennsylvania and convince him that he doesn't need to play for his hometown or home state school. Moving on to maybe the second most, I don't know. Like there's a lot of wide receivers that Missouri seems like they want to make a splash with, but probably offensive line takes the cake, because the three guys on my list to watch would really be difference makers if Missouri could land them. And it starts with Michael Fasusi, high four-star, low five-star, depending on where you look, from Louisville, Texas, listed at 6'5", 285. Missouri's going to be battling Oregon, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Texas. This is going to be NIL recruitment, I feel like. And again, trying to pull him out of Texas might be a challenge, but I'm excited to see the staff try to pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Show me the money.
Yeah. Two more offensive linemen. This guy is the number one player in the state of Kansas, so that always sounds good to go pick up the number one player in a border state. Andrew Babalola, 6'6", 295. Considered a Kansas State lean currently, also has offers from Oklahoma and Nebraska, but Missouri seems to be in the mix with him. And then maybe the most important player is number one player in the state of Missouri, Jack Lange, consensus four-star from Eureka, Missouri, listed at 6'8", 275. He's got offers from Michigan, Nebraska, and is considered a Notre Dame lean at this point, has a crystal ball to Notre Dame.
Yeah, unfortunately, Notre Dame, at least fairly recently, has the track record of producing NFL offensive linemen. So we definitely have that going against us if you're Missouri. But you know what? Missouri has, you know, just put out Javon Foster, and I think he's going to get drafted next week. And
yeah.
So, you know, Missouri's no slouch either. But, you know, Notre Dame is a prestigious university, and they've had a lot of success in the last, well, probably ever.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, it feels like Fasusi is like, it's like an old Big 12 recruiting battle with Texas, Oklahoma, and A&M.
Yep.
And then with Jack Lange, it's like, oh, we're battling Big 10, you know, sort of Midwestern schools for him.
Does he have a Michigan offer too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but it might be number one on my wish list for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, just anytime number one, I mean, it's like with Winery, like number one player in the state is also a pivotal position.
Yep.
You just really want to land those guys.
For sure.
Quarterback, offensive, defensive line. When it's the number one player in the state, it'd be huge. Moving on to defensive line, I got three guys here that I think Missouri has a really good chance with. First one, three-star out of Belleville, Illinois, Jason Dowell, 6'4", 290, also has Indiana and Illinois offers. As of right now, Missouri and Indiana seems like they're neck and neck for him.
6'4", 290.
Yeah.
Pretty good size already.
Yeah. Yeah, 290 in high school, defensive lineman. That's kind of insane. Next guy I have, Joshua Lewis, three-star out of Geismar, Louisiana. 6'4", 245. Missouri's going up against Houston and Tulane for him. And I don't know if Mizzou is waiting, but I think he is as much a Mizzou lock as anybody on this list.
You think they could shut that one down whenever they want to?
I think so. And with, I don't know, I think you're starting to see, I mean, with Mosey committing to Oregon, you're starting to see guys go off the board. Mizzou's kicking things off, getting some crystal balls.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost May, so we're going to probably start seeing commitments soon for sure.
Last defensive lineman I have is three-star from Monroe, Louisiana, Brody Watley, 6'5", 250. It seems like it's a three-way battle between Mizzou, TCU, and Baylor. Arkansas also in the mix. So three defensive linemen that I think potentially all three of them could pick Mizzou. Looking at linebacker, I have a couple names. First one is Christian Thatcher, a four-star player from Las Vegas. Listed at 6'2", 205. It's considered a Washington lean. Also has offers from Utah, Colorado, and Kansas. Another guy I have here at linebacker is three-star from Canton, Ohio, Dante McClellan. Mizzou is projected to land him according to On3, although it's very early, but they do like Mizzou for him. 6'3", 212. Also has offers from Michigan State, Kentucky, and Minnesota. And two guys left on my list. Last one is a safety from Shreveport, Louisiana, Trey Fuller, 3-star, listed at 6'1", 175. Seems like the biggest competitor is SMU, with also Colorado and Florida State in the mix. And then the last guy is the one I talked about earlier, who's listed as an athlete but projects to be a running back at the next level. He's unranked, out of Atlanta, Georgia, Lucas Farrington, 5'10", 200, Purdue in the mix, Louisville in the mix, and Georgia Tech in addition to Mizzou. So, again, no real running back target, but at 5'10", 200 pounds, you sort of expect him to, if they go with him, to play running back at the next level. And just for fun, just to see, just to make a comparison, I believe that was 17 names, or maybe 16, and then with Zollers, who's already committed, I just plugged them all into 24/7 Sports class calculator just to see what would happen. And if Missouri was somehow able to land all 16 of the guys that I just mentioned, including 2 5-stars in Fasusi and Babalola, according to 24/7 Sports, that would slot Missouri right in there with like top 20, top 15 recruiting class of just high schoolers.
And probably the only thing that's holding them back is just quantity.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, they would still probably add, you know, 5 yeah. or so more like random 3-star guys or unranked guys that we don't really know about.
Yeah. It's interesting looking at Rivals, at the Rivals ranks for Missouri. They actually have Corey Sims ranked as their number one player in Missouri.
Mm, interesting.
And they've got Jack Lange at 4th overall in Missouri.
Interesting.
So that's very, it's interesting to kind of see the differences in the rankings across the different platforms. But you probably already mentioned this, but just noticing Jack Lange, 6'8", 275.
Yeah. We just made the same noise there to describe him.
That's what you do whenever that just... that boy's already, he's already SEC size.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are they feeding those boys? He's like, shoo.
Yeah.
Shoo. Shooey.
Careful.
That was a little bit too close. I apologize.
You got some hogs coming.
That was a little too close.
Calipari was calling the hogs at a press conference.
Was he?
Yeah.
I got to look that up.
Yeah. We might have to get audio of that. But yeah, so 2025 recruiting class, like, I don't know. No reason to doubt Drinkwitz and company at this point. And it looks like all the pieces are there. Like, guys are interested. The recruiting class started exactly the way the staff had scripted it up to this point. It's just a matter of time before commits start rolling in. And I don't think there's any reason to think we're outside the top 25. You know, I feel like this is another top 25 recruiting class at worst.
Right. Right.
There's only one commit so far, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, with like all the momentum that we have, you know, taking advantage, like we were talking about earlier, with the hype, I mean, this recruiting class really needs to be that good, in my opinion, just so we can keep stacking those classes.
Corey Sims. That's my prediction. Next
commit?
Next commitment. Corey Sims.
I can live with that. Number one player in Missouri, according to Rivals.
Yeah. Yeah, that's usually how we do it, is like whatever recruiting service has them highest, we'll go with that.
We'll take that.
So there will be, if Sims and Lange both pick Mizzou, then they're both number one.
That works.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Got them both. And if, what was his name? If the number one player in the state of Kansas comes to Mizzou, he's absolutely the number one player. If not, doesn't exist.
He sucks.
Yeah. Anything else? Football recruiting?
You killed it.
Thanks.
You were saying all the names really well.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Love it.
I don't know if I said them well. There's a couple of them. It's questionable.
Sounded good to me.
Oh, thanks. All right. Well, that's probably it then. Stay tuned. Look for our pack. What's it called? Pack pull? Card pull?
Yeah. We're going to be pulling some cards. Oh, live yeah. streaming.
Ripping some packs.
Ripping packs.
Ripping in the tearing, getting that holographic.
Special thank you to our Patreon supporters at the $10 level and above. Britt Treese, Brian Smith, Brian DeMore, Tristan, Ben Smith, Parker, Daddy JD, Tim Keens, Tyler Harsel, Brandon Groffalo, Brandon Hanks, Matthew Tilley, Lewis Hernandez, Joshua Jacobson, and Robin Winokur. Thank you.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. We love you. You can find this podcast. You got me. Dang it. You can find this podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We're on Twitter at Mizzou Sports Pod. And you can email us at MissouriSportPod@gmail.com.
You called Robin a gentleman.
No. You can find our t-shirts and stickers on our online shop, MissouriSportsPod.BigCartel.com.
Robin, if you're listening, we'll take some money. We'll take some of that $250 million. Send it our way. Thank you everyone for listening. We will see you next week.